Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes. This is the audio diary of my life, behind the scenes of a YouTube creator, and so on and so forth. It's the 21st today of February 2026. It's about 7:30 in the morning on a very white, cold day. The sky is white. It's not snowing. Yes, it's very cold, but still and not wet as yet. Ah, we've had so much rain, haven't we? I don't know where it comes from. I guess it comes from the hot countries and somehow decides to come over here. Or is it manipulated? Anyway, point is, it is cold, but it's February and that's to be expected. We have a week now until the logs, my next batch of logs, arrive, and we have pretty much run out. But Julia has very cleverly found somebody on Facebook Marketplace who has some logs for sale relatively cheaply. So we've got to go to East Sussex this morning anyway, and this is where this chap is with the van, and so we thought, well, we'll buy these logs and that should last us for a week. What with the other bits and pieces, we've been sawing up timber. I have timber, a store of old timber I bought years and years ago in the side of the shed in the back garden, and it's pretty much getting to the point where it's useless now and beginning to rot. But there's some pieces there, and some pieces I put in the shed so they were dry, and I need to sort of repeat that process because the ones down the side of the shed are soaking wet. So I shall bung some into the shed to dry them out, and then in due course, if I run out, I can use those, which would be good. So we've been sawing those up, which have lasted actually very well. Some of them are timber joists from my neighbour's house, from his roof, and they are, I mean, they must be as timber, not just as a tree, but as a timber. They must be 150 years old or something. So that's, yeah, it's a shame to have to dispose of them, but they were salvaged. They're full of nails and things, so the ash pan is full of nails, but that's okay. We won't be putting that lot on the compost. We'll separate that out. But, yeah, it's kept us. It means that we've been able to heat water and cook and dry clothes and stay warm, although we barricade ourselves in the kitchen. There's not enough wood to run two fires at the moment, although when we get the next wood delivery, there will be. And, of course, as we go through the year and we warm up, it will only be necessary to have one fire on, and that would be the Essie, because things would be warm. But at the moment, when it's very, very cold, so I'm sitting here with a big woolly jumper, and I have an extra duvet that which we've brought down to put on the sofa to wrap round us. So I'm just sitting there like this, perfectly warm. It's just, you know, you get up to go somewhere else, you go, oh yeah, the house is pretty cold. Anyway, yesterday we went to look at tractors. There's a chap near here where I live who was selling some tractors, and so we arranged to see him, and he's got a piece of land. It must be about 3 acres or so, maybe a bit more, and strewn all over this land are tractors and Land Rovers and various other farm implements from, I guess, the 1980s back. And there's a lot of vintage tractors. I mean, many of them in bits and many of them working. And we saw quite a few working that would start immediately, and away they went. So we are in the market for a little vintage tractor of some description so that we can, particularly in the winter, collect things from the road up our little track, which is clay and muddy. I can't get the van on there. If the van were to get stuck on the land, when we can get it on there, due to the mud for any reason. We need a tractor to be able to pull that out. When we bought the land, there is a car that we were asked if we could dispose of it, because the owner of the land didn't really want to get involved. And he said, well, look, I'm leaving this car there. If you want to dispose of it, you know, it's up to you. And we said, well, we will dispose of it. It's been there still. We need to pull that out. The brakes have seized on, and it won't move. So we need a tractor or something strong to give it a belt, you know, to pull it off. It's a bit of an eyesore, and we don't want it. And why would you want it? I've got the sawn paperwork for it, so we will get it to the scrappy, or at least get a scrappy to pick it up. So that's another use for the tractor. And of course, the main use will be it's not everyday use, because we won't need it every day, but it's used to bring things around from one place to another, to pull heavy objects that we can't lift, and of course, to, in the areas that we want to remain mown, to get a little mower attachment to the back of it, so that you can keep certain areas clear of all the grasses and weeds and brambles and things like that. That is the idea. So we looked yesterday, and there were some very nice tractors, one of which we were expecting to look at, which we did. It wasn't the model that we initially were after, but this gentleman was so nice and so informative. And of course, he's been collecting tractors and various farm bits for, I guess, most of his life. He says this is, you know, what he knows. So he knew, and he knows all the players and the dealers and the collectors, and he goes to the shows and this, that and the other. So he was a very informative chap, but he, you know, when you don't know too much and somebody knows a lot and is enthusiastic, he didn't try to sell us anything in the end, which was a great way to sell you something. He wasn't trying too hard at all. He was just enthusing about it all. And I thought, well, he's the kind of chap that I would trust. And also, knowing somebody like that, you could go back to them and say, look, I've got this problem now, or we need this. Have you got any idea where I could get it from? So that's very good. So we looked at one and we thought, yes. And I said to him, you know, how much is that? And he told us the price. And I said, right, okay. I said, one of the problems we'll have is, of course, we need to get it from here to our land. And he did say, well, I could deliver it for you. And we said, well, that would be amazing. So that's a potential. And then today we're going off, we'd seen another tractor, which is nicely painted. And the thing about something that's nicely painted as opposed to not so nicely painted, it's just a workhorse, is, of course, that the paint can hide a lot of things. So although somebody said, oh yes, it's nicely restored and blah, 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 you think, what is it hiding, and is it just for show? We don't want a tractor that, you know, a day before the show, you just change all the plugs or whatever you do, get it going, so that at a showground show of a tractor show, vintage tractor show, you've got a lovely looking tractor that people look at and kick the tires and go, yes, very nice. We want one that is actually going to start every day and will do the job that you want. So that's really what we're after. Anyway, so we'll go and see it anyway. And as it happens in the same area, well, within 10 miles, I think, on the way back is this chap with the logs. So we'll go and pick up those logs. So at the end of that, we'll have a good idea of what we want. They're two different tractors, two different... I think they're both Massey Ferguson's. One's a Fordson. That's right, get it right. And one's a Massey Ferguson. But they're vintage. So anyway, we'll have a look and see what's what the price is. It's all near offer on this one we're going to look at today. So I'm not quite sure. And if you you know, part of the criteria will be, can we move it to the land? That's what we need to do. So that would be good. So anyway, we did that. Came back yesterday after seeing all these tractors and getting a good idea of what is in store for us if we have a tractor, which will be absolutely fantastic and is essential. It's essential for so many things. I had organised a chap to come who has already been before to service my van. I needed the brakes doing, the pads had gone. And he'd been before and done some work on the van for me, because the regular place I had used for years, very trustworthy, little garage, has expanded. They shut down the compound they had during 2020, during the COVID thing, and they had a secondary compound which was more commercial, which is where they were doing their vans. And I've been going there, obviously, for the last 5 years, or 4 years, because last year I just thought, no, you're just too expensive. They've got all this staff now and a computer system, and it's not the same personal service as it once was. It's got too big for its boots for a, you know, domestic use. And if you've got a fleet of vans, or you're a company with, you know, a couple of vans or whatever, it's probably fine. Because I think they just work now more for the corporations than the individuals. And it's too expensive. So I started to have to look round, and there's this chap called Tom, who's a very nice bloke, mobile mechanic, and he's half the price. And you cannot argue with half the price. And I used him to do the work, when was it, in August. Then the pads needed doing, and so he came, very reliable, did the job, no problem. And it was cold and wet yesterday, and he was outside doing it, not a problem. And away we go. And I said to him, look, I know I need the van, needs a little service on the engine side of things, let's wait till the spring when it's nice and warm. And you know, I don't want to put you through wet and cold, poor chap. But he did it, no complaints whatsoever. Julia's got a little problem on her car, which he's quoted for, and he will get to do that as well. So, and I'm all for small, one-man bands, family-run. You know, when companies get too big, they become, they need to feed the staff, because now they've got, you know, huge numbers of staff on sitting in the back office, as it were, on computers and things, doing admin, and you've got to pay for all of that out of just wanting your brakes fixed or something. It becomes too much. It's no longer that individual service. So, and I think some people still pay, because they think, well, I've been loyal to that firm all that time. But as that firm's expanded, they're not giving you the same price, which is a shame. And you do feel that loyalty ought to be rewarded if you are helping the business grow. But you don't want to suddenly find that your prices have been hoiked up. I know everything's expensive and prices do go up. Yes, that's fine. Obviously, the price of parts go up and people's labour goes up. But part of the bill obviously has to pay the wages of all these other people who are texting you and emailing you and all this sort of stuff. So sadly, this particular company, who were very nice in the early days with dedicated staff, many of them left when the change happened, and they moved to this other site. They weren't actually very happy, and it's all changed. So there you go. So that was that, really. And the rest of the day, well, we were back basically at home. I mean, that was pretty much the day. I was watching a friend of mine who is a pipe maker, who had a live stream going on. So whilst I was answering emails and preparing a couple of books ready to go down to the post office, which will go off today, we were watching him finishing off sanding and staining some pipes. It was fascinating, fascinating to watch. So, yeah, that was Friday's thing. And then I was sawing up timber and got the fire going and just warmed ourselves up. So there you are. I have been in touch with the light paper and asked them if they'd be interested in reviewing and printing a feature on my book, Biggleswick, which they're very keen to do, which was lovely. And I've got nice feedback from people about it, so that all helps. And if I can get some quotes from some of the readers, that would be also great to be able to put in on the review. I don't know whether it will elicit any sales, of course. Hopefully it'll, you know, I don't suppose it'll do very many, but if I get a handful, that would be great. I haven't been working on my other book, the Second World War book, for a while. I've just been so busy with other bits and pieces to do. And, of course, it's been cold. And working in the cold, sitting down, is not as pleasurable as sitting down in the warm and working. So I don't know that that will get out now before Christmas, which is what my original plan was, because purely that once the weather breaks and we get into the warmer weather, as we will, and we have a tractor, we get more stuff onto the land and we will have lots to do. And now that my health is back to pretty much normal, I still have a little seizing up in the mornings with my shoulders, but after an hour or so, I'm back and building up the strength, which is fantastic. And so pleased that I didn't go to the NHS, public enemy number one, and pleased that I didn't resort to any sort of long-term or pharmaceuticals. The only thing I had was some antihistamine when I had hives. And that was it. You know, I think 3 tablets of that when it was at its most extreme. And I know a lot of people were saying, no, go and do this other thing. But we know, having spoken to 2 different doctors, both who were, one is in the NHS and one isn't, that they wanted to put me on 6 months of steroids. And then it takes another 2 or 3 months to come off the bloody things. Well, I wasn't going to do that. I have been on steroids before. And they're not nice. And I'd be on them now, bloated up and unnecessarily so, and then trying to... And you wouldn't really know when the problem is over, because you've been... The steroids are sort of not only cushioning the muscles and everything and all that water retention that comes with it, but it's sort of hidden what's going on. And you just go, well, look, we'll bung you on 6 months and then you'll get you off over the next 3 months. That's 9 months. And, you know, statistics say that this sort of condition will be done. Well, I didn't want the whole pretty much 9 months to be on that, not knowing that I'm actually fixed after 3. Why would you do that? So, yes, it has been difficult, I grant you, but I put on a stiff upper lip and... just got on with it, and I'm so relieved. Now, this is one of the things I feel that if you have principles, you need to stick by your principles as best you can. Okay, not all principles can you stick by. You have to relent. You have to chop and change and compromise at certain times, and that's understandable, of course. Filmmaking, for example, is all about compromise. You have this set idea, you want to do it this way and that way, and then you find you can't do this, or you can't do that, and you can't do the other, and so you chop and change. I mean, life is full of compromise, but you're still heading in the general direction that you wanted to do. Anyway, point is, I didn't have to do that, and it was all good. So, yes, I need to get myself ready to get up and go off to East Sussex to go and have a look at another tractor, pick up some logs and come back, then go down to the post office. So another busy day getting things done, which is all good. So there we go. Anyway, thank you for listening, if you did. I'm sorry these aren't every single day, as I used to do at the moment. But, yeah, just fitting them in when I can, really. Anyway, I hope you have a good day, whatever you're doing, and try and keep warm if you can. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye for now.